Please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Johnny, what's the difference between us and them?
Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
How's it going, everyone? This is your host, TJ Martinell, the new Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast, coming to you from my war room and my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. The date is June 6th, 2022, another 15 days to flatten the curve. The anniversary, I think 78th, of the D-Day invasion. I could do an entire podcast on the D-Day invasion. I did one years ago, but it was on my SoundCloud account, which I've not been funding because I don't fund those people anymore. But that was before I realized that my subscription for my hosting for my website allowed me enough uploading data. Like I have a maximum amount of stuff that I can upload. I thought the podcast went beyond it, but apparently it didn't. Anyways, it's not out there. I could do a whole podcast on D-Day and talk about how I was there for the 75th anniversary. I might do that one, just not today. And it really has to do with the fact that I'm not in the mood for talking about D-Day and the fact that I, you know, happened to be in the lobby of a fancy Norman hotel and ran into one of the actors from Band of Brothers. That, we can hold that for another day. I might do that later this week. That's not what we're talking about today. And the title of this episode is the... There is no time. Because I could call it, if I did the D-Day episode, it would be so easy. Just call it the D-Day episode. But what I want to talk about today is the frustration I have with the right, the dissidents, whatever you want to call it, whoever they are, people who are not part of the SJW woke mob Prague narrative ideology. Because as people have pointed out, the right is not very good at art. And, you know, there's not a lot of right-wingers in Hollywood. There's not a lot of right-wingers in media, in entertainment, all that other kind of stuff. And they're not necessarily wrong in that regard. But here's the problem. The Prague, the left, the wokeism, the whatever you want to call it, they control all these platforms that basically allow you to make movies, do entertainment, do media, whatever. Which means that they also get to promote and control who we are being exposed to. And much of the right's popularity is in the critiquing department now. We're now a culture of critique. And not all that is bad. It's not bad to have film critics. It's not bad to have entertainment critics. It's not bad to have people exposing media that is doing bad stuff. None of that is bad in and of itself. But let's say you're a YouTuber who gets 600,000 subscribers, maybe a million. You're on Twitter. You got a million actual followers, not just bots. And you spend all your time critiquing what the progs come out with. So they come up with Star Wars, right? You've done all these Star Wars films, critiques, and they've gotten hundreds of thousands of views and likes, and smash that like button, subscribe to my YouTube channel, you know, donate to my Patreon. And yet, How many of you, for, well, let's just assume a couple things. One, the people who are critiquing these films and these books actually bought these books and actually watched these movies. So they financially compensated the people that they are critiquing. And yet, how much time do they spend reading, watching content made by people like me? You know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I am not the greatest self-promoter. Part of the reason is I grew up in an environment where I was taught to be humble and not be an arrogant jackass, which has served me well in some areas of my life. It's also been a problem in others because apparently in order to get somewhere, you got to be a bit of a braggart. I'm a huckleberry. I'll do it. If that's what it takes, okay, fine. I've never been a great self-promoter, but here's the thing, guys. I wrote books that have really, they weren't, like the same way that A Brave New World in 1984 were not exact, like we're not living in exactly 1984. We're not living in literally A Brave New World. We're not literally living in Fahrenheit 451. But all the philosophies, the concepts, the ideas from those books we see today. In the same way, my Stringer's trilogy really nailed a few concepts. You know, this idea of misinformation and disinformation and being able to basically erase someone from the internet with the stroke of a few, you know, push a few keys on a keyboard and they basically have no identity. Right. This was a book that really anticipated the kind of stuff that went on really 2016 moving forward. And I wrote that book in 2013. And it's got, I've sold some decent copies and I've gotten a few positive reviews, but as I did a podcast on this talking about why I stopped writing is I'm just burned out and it's not, there are other things that are more financially advantageous. And when you're 21 years old, you can have this kind of starving artist mentality, but not when you're 35 years old. And I know exactly what a lot of people are going to say is, TJ wants you to do more advertising, more marketing. Well, one, that costs money and it's not guaranteed of success. And I'm not here. Here's the kicker for all you who don't seem to get this. We are authors. We are writers. We are not marketers. We are not promoters. That's not what we're good at. If we were good at it, we would be working as promoters and marketers, right? Men like me, we are not good at, like, that's not what we focus our time on. Like, marketing and self-promotion, that is a skill. And here's just a kicker for people who don't want to seem to understand this. If you see a writer who is really good at promoting and really good at marketing, know that their product is going to be subpar to that one guy who wrote a really great book, but nobody's read because he's not a promoter. He didn't promote it because he's not a promoter. He's a writer. And he's a damn good writer. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from The Legend of Frenia, which is a great non-woke Legend of Zelda style novel. And yet, it's like, how many of these people have been complaining about what's going on in the entertainment industry? How many of them are reading my books? How many of them are promoting it? And again, I'm not entitled to the promotion. What I'm pointing out is that they are using the success and the mass exposure of Star Wars and all these other established. They're doing the exact same thing that the people who are making these films are doing, right? With the Star Wars sequels, nobody went to see those movies for their own merit. They went to see them because they were Star Wars. You slap Star Wars on it, people are going to want to go watch it. They rode the coattails off of the three original films, and frankly, that's what's been going on since 1983. Nobody wanted to see the prequels because they were prequels. I'm sorry. Nobody wanted to see the prequels because they were just films that were interesting to see. People wanted it because it was tied to something that they already liked. In the same manner, all these critiquers and all these guys on YouTube and Twitter and whatever social media they're on, when they're critiquing these stuff, they are critiquing it because they know that it's going to get people's interest. Because it's a label and a brand that they recognize. Yeah, it's Star Wars. I'm going to critique the new Star Wars film and explain why this Star Wars film sucks and why the Boba Fett sucked and why Obi-Wan Kenobi sucked. And we're going to talk about all these films coming, or these books coming out that suck. Because that is easy for people to digest. They're not going to actually read the... You know what? And let's also be a little cynical here. How many of these people actually ended up going out and watching those films? And then they're like... It's like a girl who continually goes back to her, you know, Harley McBadboy boyfriend who is abusive, and then she leaves him, and then she goes back to him, and then leaves him, and then she's gathering with her girls who also are dating bad boys, and they're all complaining about how, it, like, they're looking for other people to commiserate, like, yeah, I went and experienced this because I had to, and now I'm going to commiserate with other people who are making the same mistakes that I do. And then they watch videos about a guy talking about why Harley McBadboy is a bad guy. Meanwhile, Harley McBadboy is still getting what he wants from the people complaining and the people doing the videos that are complaining about him. This is not about how I'm not getting free advertising and free marketing for my books. This is about how men like me have written. We've done a bunch of books. We've done a bunch of works. People can read it. You can all go on Amazon. You can use the Googles. The Googles works. Trust the Googles. Right? I had some guy who was looking up Google stuff, and I was thinking, yes, if he can do this, so can you. So can everyone. The books are out there, and the thing is, I've gotten some enthusiastic responses. That's great, but artists like myself, we don't have the time, resources, or the aptitude to be out there promoting constantly. It's not like, this is us being self-aware. This is us being honest. We are not good at that. Or we just don't have the talent, or we just don't have the wherewithal. We don't have this, whatever it is, it's not something that we are interested or capable or wanting to do as far as investing our time. We want to be focusing on other stuff. And the problem is that there are people out there who have platforms where, okay, great, you don't want them to watch another crappy Star Wars movie. Give them a copy of The Iridian. It is on Amazon. It is like $6. If I sell enough copies, I will do an audiobook. If you want me to do an audiobook, you can pay me and I will do the audiobook. Well, TJ, why don't you do the audiobook and then people sell? Because this is the point. I'm not going to do an audiobook for a book that there's not a certain demand. Because I was just practicing with some of these chapters to do the audiobook. There's so much work that goes into this stuff. And yes, I could finish it and all that. And that was before I was living next to a train crossing, which creates whole other problems here. But this is the problem, is that I want to know that the demand is out there. It's like, it's the difference between coming up with an idea and seeing if it sticks, and then there's an existing demand that, you know, if you do something, people are going to buy it. There may be induced demand where people want it, but they can't find it. And this is where these people could be doing some good. They could be saying, hey, if you don't like the wokeism in the new Obi-Wan Kenobi or whatever it is, you don't like Star Wars, here is a good book. It's short. It's sweet. It gets to the point. Go buy the book, support the artist, he's not woke. Or are all these guys who are complaining about how there's no stories for young men or mass, you know, teaching masculinity? You can buy them a copy of The Legend of Fenrir and The Song of Wolfgar audiobook that was done by Jack Napier. Did a great job. You can buy them that. That will teach them how to be a man. Oh, they're making some wokeism 1930s film. Great. They can pick up a copy of Men Who Walk Alone. I don't want any propaganda in my, you know, why do they have to inject all this crap into our stuff? Okay, you can buy a copy of The Stringers. TJMartinell.com, you can get all this for a few dollars. And all it takes is somebody actually promoting our stuff instead of constantly whining about all the crap that's out there. This is like complaining about how there's all this fake, there's this fool's gold, but you won't point out to the miner where the actual gold is. Why are all these Christian books just a bunch of crappy, you know, about 1800 debutantes and all this other weird stuff in this Hallmark Channel crap? Okay, you can buy them The Pilgrim's Digress. I'm trying to look at all the other books I've written right now on my website. All right, and if you liked Men Who Walk Alone, you will also like The Night No One Slept. It's a short little novella. It's only on Kindle, but it's a good book. Because I have a whole bunch of other books that I've written, but they're unpublished. I need to go edit them. I'm not editing them if I don't think that there's an audience. Because it's just, I'm at that point where I need that. I need to know that I'm not wasting my time. But the question really is, let's say that these people promoted our stuff. They promoted my work. They promoted other people's work. Would people actually stop bitching and actually buy the books, right? All those Star Wars guys, would they actually pick up a copy of The Iridian and then start demanding that somebody make a movie out of this thing so they can pay me the big shekels and then I can have the time to go focus on other works that they enjoy? Or would they just be like, meh, and then they continue listening to critiques of Star Wars? I mean, is this a case of where it's like the girl, again, who won't leave Harley McBadboy, even when she has a handsome, charming, attractive guy who's got his crap together, and he also has a motorcycle, and he has a house, and he's responsible, but that's just boring. Or he doesn't offend her. He doesn't, like, call her horrible names and say he never wants to see her again. I mean, is that what's going on here? Is this a case of where people are complaining about stuff, but they are complaining, but they like it? They like complaining. They like complaining about the problem. They don't want the problem to get solved. A part of me says yes, a part of me says no. Look at how Top Gun 2 is doing. It's selling, it's what was it? Generating $300 million in box office revenue, and it's been out for a week. I think the demand is there, people. I think the problem is that our side is not looking out for our own. They're sitting there complaining and critiquing about what the other side is doing. And they're not saying, hey, here for this week, here's a book that came out. Here's a novel that was written. Here's something that this guy did. It's worth checking out. Or how about you critique our side, but then people don't know about it. And that's the problem. Like I said, I'm a little worked up. It's really getting to the point where people need to be cultural evangelicals. That is the podcast episode title. the cultural evangelicals. If you've read any of my work and you think it's good, then please be a missionary and evangelical. Go tell other people about it. Say, you need to read this book. Because apparently these bigwig critiquers on the YouTubes and the Twitters and the Facebookies and the Internetsies, the Twittersphere, they're not going to do that for us. They're going to critique mainstream culture because that's what get I guess that's what gets them the views, that's what gets them the big bucks, the donations. It's not that I'm frustrated that people aren't that my books are not the ones being made into movies. It's not about me. It's about, I think that there are a lot of men like me who are out there trying to make good art, trying to make, in, as far as writing, we're trying to do good writing. We're serious about it. We're old fashioned. And yet there's there's some sort of hang up where people are not wanting, if they've been in this mindset for so long where it's, we're constantly where the progs are in control of the culture. Once you guys start ignoring them and start focusing on us, we can start dominating the culture. Because when people stop talking about them, then people are going to start ignoring them and they're going to start paying attention to guys like us. And this is different with fiction, I'd say, from actual books like people I know who've written nonfiction books. That's different. That I'd say that's less of an art and it's more specific and people know what they're getting. I mean, this is me as an artist gauging, like, are people really interested in this stuff or can they just not find it? And the kind of the frustrating part is we might never know. I might never know. I mean, I think that I was working on the film script for The Legend of Ferenya. I think it would make a fantastic film. It's just, I'm working on it and I'm thinking, okay, I'm spending a lot of time and buying a lot of coffee working on this thing. What is the most likely outcome and what's the probability that's ever going to get made into a film and where I'm going to be financially compensated to the extent that my time has been spent on this? And I was just thinking, you know, from what I know of people I know who literally work in Hollywood and have told me, it's like, okay, they're not going to do it. And I don't really know if anybody else is going to do it. Not because it's not a great script, not because it's not a great story, but because is it challenging too many cultural norms today? And it's only getting worse year after year. I mean, something's got to give at some point. Because, yes, I could be working on all these old novels that I wrote years ago that I think if I really worked on them, I could make them, I could polish them up. But it's like, I could do that or I could go on my motorcycle. Or I could be working on renovating my house, renovating the basement. I could be, you know, doing landscaping. I could be reading these Civil War books that I have. There are so many things I could be doing. Why am I doing that? And I think I speak for a lot of other writers who are like, yeah, we've poured our heart and soul into stuff and we've gotten some people interested, but it's just not enough to compensate us. It's not worth our time compared to what we could be doing that would make us more money. You know, this is I get that part of this is also, it's not every great art is supposed to be done through populist means. I mean, art back in the day was done through patronage, where you had a very wealthy patron pay an artist, and it would be one guy paying somebody to do that. Maybe we need to bring back the patrons. I mean, the Sistine Chapel was not done through crowdfunding. It wasn't done through Patreon. It was done where very wealthy people financed it. The same thing with, frankly, most ancient works of art were done through patronages, where artists were given a means to support themselves, because I think they understood that fine art, you're not going to... It is not something that you make. This is where a lot of, I'd say, libertarian types tend to get a little Asperger-y. Where they're like, oh, how much GDP is it generating? You know what? Not every value, not everything in society that is good and beneficial, its benefit value cannot be measured in money. Like something that has sentimental value, that doesn't have... it's not something you can put a price tag on. The same thing with the Sistine Chapel. Like, how much GDP did Michelangelo generate when he did the Sistine Chapel? None. But how has that affected Western culture? The same thing with the Statue of David, or the Last Supper, or like all these famous paintings. Like these are part of our culture, and yet. Did they generate GDP? Did they generate revenue? No. The person had to be subsidized. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily the case with artists on the right. I think in some cases it is. Like okay, so we've criticized the critiquers. Let's criticize all these I don't want to say boomers. I'm just going to say old people, cuz some of you people might as well be boomers even if you're not. You're old. You got money. And you're donating money still. And I know some of these people. Your college hates you. You're a white man. Your college hates you. And you're still donating money to it. Because it was your alma mater from 1971. Well, great, dude. I got news for you. They hate you. You can be giving that money to a college that's actively working to undermine your culture, your civilization. Or you can give that money to an artist who is producing works of art that you think that convey your values. You could do that. But instead, you're sending that money to some college where they need a safe space for mentally ill people who hate you. So I think if there's authors out there or guys who have had dreams of writing, and they're like, you know what? I just don't feel like anybody's going to appreciate it. I'm not going to judge them. I get it. You know, something's got to give. I think I'll leave it on that note. So if you're smart, you'll know how to find me, or maybe you just listen to the intro of this podcast. So this is the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room and my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. Signing off.